headed semicircle, balance of work and rest. And there are, I think there are some pens around. Catherine is, as always, is being a star, finding the pens. If you've got a pen, it'd be helpful to make notes, particularly later on. At the start of the handout, you'll see a line, and this is a scale of work and rest. So at the left-hand side, zero, that's fully rested, horizontal, you might say. And then at the other end, at the right-hand side, 10 is completely stressed out with work. Okay. Just have a think, personally, have a think about where you are on that scale right now. So zero, fully rested, 10, stressed out. If you've got a pen, you might like to write it down. Have a think, secondly, have a think about where the Anlaby churches are, where St. Mark's is, where St. Peter's is, however you choose to define it. And again, if you want to write it down, then you can. So the question of work and rest, of healthy rhythms in life, is a vitally important one. Each of us will be at a different point. I'm aware that amongst us there are those who work long hours. There are those who have young families, some who are single parents, those studying for exams, those unemployed or finding it hard to find employment, those retired. And at church, there are those who are very involved and those not really involved. And that's just to mention a few things. So how are we to think about this balance between work and rest? This is the final sermon in a series considering discipleship shapes that I've been finding helpful. Each shape illustrates an important truth about discipleship. The shapes aren't divinely inspired, but I think they are helpful ways of thinking about different aspects of discipleship and helping develop a culture of discipleship. Today's shape about work and rest requires a great deal of self-awareness, of knowing ourselves. And we're going to have a couple of periods of reflection during the talk, but I'd encourage us to go away and keep reflecting and asking God to help us know ourselves better and so be able to respond appropriately to what he's saying to us. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer in a moment, but before I do, a big welcome to the Newburys, particular welcome to Benjamin. Great to have him with us. And we look forward to meeting him properly a little bit later, but let me pray. And I'm going to pray from the end of Psalm 139. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Well, you can see the shape on the handout. It's a semicircle. And at one end of the semicircle is rest. At the other end is work. You might be able to imagine that shape on a surface, or imagine it swinging from side to side. So I was trying to think of an example, and the best I could come up with was, I'm showing my age, but some of you might remember Sabutio football figures that would sort of wobble from side to side. Someone this morning came up with Weebles. Anyone know what a Weeble is? I don't know what a Weeble is. Or you might think of a pendulum, which also has the same movement. The basic point is that as individuals, as a church, we need to have a healthy balance between work and rest, to swing healthily between work and rest. And it's worth seeing right from the start that work and rest are both good things. They're both vitally important. Just think back to the Garden of Eden before the fall of the first man and woman. Everything was good and delightful, and work and rest were both there. So if you've got a Bible, just look up Genesis, right at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, end of chapter 1, page 4. And verse 28. God blessed them, the first man and woman, and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And then chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So from the beginning, God gives people work to do. And before the fall, work is a purposeful thing. It's a delightful thing. It's one of the things every human being needs to be able to flourish. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why, as Christians, we should be concerned about this vision of the future that some people are projecting, that AI means that nobody's going to have to work. Actually, we were designed to work. God is a working God, and we're made in his image. And we need work to be able to truly flourish. We will work in the renewed creation. There's also rest before the fall. So famously, chapter 2, verse 2, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he'd done. So after 6 days of working, God himself rests. And so he validates rest. He shows the importance of rest. And he puts in place the rhythm of one day in seven rest. So work and rest are both good. They're both needed. That first observation hopefully is not controversial. The second thing might be less familiar to us. Work flows from rest. We tend to think that rest follows work. So you work for 6 days, then you have a day off to recover. That's not wrong. We do need to rest after 6 days. I know I do. But there's also a sense in which rest comes first, and our work flows from it. So again, some examples from the Bible. Verses we've just looked at, Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3. What we sometimes don't realize, or what we don't realize unless we think about it, is that for the first man and woman, they were created on the sixth day, and then the seventh day was a day of rest. So the first full day of their life on earth is a day of rest. They rest before they work. Second, consider Jesus. You don't need to read the Gospels for long to realize that Jesus went off by himself to pray, and if you like, to rest with his Father before he entered into significant periods of ministry. So rest, in the broader sense of being with God, was the launching pad for the work Jesus did. He rested with his Father before he worked. Famous words from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I'll read them out. "Come to me, all you," this is Jesus speaking, "come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Just notice a couple of things from those words. As we've just seen, we need a broader definition of what we mean by rest. It's not just ceasing from work, although that's part of it. It's a state of being. And in particular, it's a state of being in relationship with Jesus. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And if you were with us a couple of years ago, you'll remember we thought about this quite a lot when we looked at the means of grace, and in particular, resting with God. And I'd encourage you to look that up. It's on my blog or on the website. Do follow that up. And even further back, a talk on the Sabbath, when we looked at the Ten Commandments. Again, that's on the website. On the same note, Hebrews 4 tells us that our ultimate rest will be with God in heaven. So resting with God, with Jesus. Then to our passage that was read, John 15. Superficially, it isn't about rest. But once we realize we find our true rest in Jesus, we can see that actually it's all about rest. Because the command in these verses, it's not to work, it's not to bear fruit. The command is to abide in Jesus. We might say rest in Jesus. As we find our rest and our life and our joy and our identity in Jesus, we will automatically bear fruit. That's the point. Just as when a branch remains in a vine, it bears fruit automatically. Just speaking from my own experience, last April, some of you will remember, I experienced some symptoms of burnout, and God seems to have revealed about 14 different causes, but one of them definitely was working in my own strength, depending on myself rather than on God. I didn't realize I was doing it until God showed me, but I was. Even when I prayed, I was actually depending on my prayer rather than the God who hears and answers prayer. So this concept of abiding in Jesus and working from rest is something God has really been working in me over the past year. So working from rest. Just a few things to observe at this point about work and rest. So some thoughts about rest, and you might want to jot these down on the handout over the page. Four things quickly. So first, as we've seen, rest isn't just physical rest. We need rest in every part of our being, mental, emotional, spiritual. I've had times, I'm sure we've all had times, when I've been physically rested, but I'm emotionally or spiritually exhausted. So much of our stress and anxiety has emotional or spiritual causes. And ultimately, we need to know that we're loved by God, that we belong to God. We need to find our joy and identity and home with God in Christ. When we have that in place, real rest can happen. And of course, to discover those things, we need to come back to the cross. So it's good to have that in mind as we come towards Easter. Second, it's worth, I think, specifically mentioning sleep. Sleep is one of the key means of rest that God has given us. It's a daily reminder of our dependence on Him. And a growing body of research suggests we do need as close to 8 hours sleep a night as we can get. And if you're not getting that, if you're struggling to sleep, then I encourage you to seek help. At least ask someone to pray for you. I've done that many times over the years when I've been struggling to sleep. And if you need to, visit your GP. Third, one of the things we classically think of as rest is entertainment, whether it's TV or movies or social media or video games or whatever. But it isn't necessarily all that good for us. It has its place, but it needs to be kept within boundaries. I came across this quote recently and it resonated with me. We're not happy when nothing is asked of us. We're not happy when nothing is asked of us. In other words, if we're engaging in something where we're only being passive, it won't make us happy. Because as we saw last week, we're made to receive from God and to give out. If we're only receiving and being passive, we're not functioning as we were made to function. Finally, it's worth just noticing the value of resting in community. We're all different. Some of us like to be on our own more than others, but we were all made for community at some level. We receive rest and blessing from being with others that we're comfortable with. So as a church family, can we be aware, particularly aware of those who are single? Can we ask ourselves, how can we help them rest in community? Something to be thinking about. And then just briefly on work, just to say there are different kinds of work. The most obvious kind is paid work. That's probably what we immediately think of. But there's also work at home, raising a family, cleaning, cooking, finances, planning, and so on. There's work at church. There's work in the wider community. And some of us are retired, but we still work in different ways. And that's absolutely right. There's a sense in which, as a Christian, you never fully retire. There's always work to do for God's kingdom. Most of those things are not paid, but they are still valuable and important work. And so as we think about work and rest, it's right to ask God, do I have the right balance? And there's no right answer to that question. It really does come through prayer and through wisdom and through seeking God. Well, I said we'd have a couple of moments to reflect, and this is our first opportunity. And I've got a couple of questions which aren't on the handout, but you might want to write them down if you've got a pen, and then have a think about them. So the first question is, bearing in mind everything that I've said so far, what particular part of my life do I need to pay attention to right now? What particular part of my life do I need to pay attention to right now? It might be sleep. It might be having a day off. It might be how I spend my leisure time. Whatever it is there a particular part of your life you need to pay attention to? And then the second question, what might need to change in my life so I get the right balance between work and rest? What might need to change in my life so I get the right balance between work and rest? So just take a couple of moments on your own to think about those questions and jot down any thoughts you might have. As I said, we need God to reveal ourselves to ourselves and to help us to understand ourselves better. So this is something. These are things to keep thinking about in the week ahead, and you may want to talk about it afterwards as well. But just for the last few minutes, I want to briefly consider the idea of seasons. So seasons in our individual lives and in the life of the church. Now, the word seasons isn't used in the Bible in this sense, but it's familiar to us from the seasons of the year. And the concept of going through different periods is all through the Bible. So if you think of the Old Testament, you may know that God's people go through lots of different periods or phases. So there's slavery in Egypt, there's the Exodus, there's the wilderness wanderings, there's the entry into the promised land, there's the period of the judges, and so on. And then over the last couple of summers, we've looked at the book of Acts, and you'll know from that that there are seasons, different seasons in the life of the church there. There's periods of great growth of the church. There are periods of persecution and of hardship and so on. So that idea of seasons is definitely there. For us as individuals, there are obvious seasons of life. Perhaps the most obvious are childhood and retirement. There might be other seasons, enforced rest through poor health, chosen rest, particularly intense periods of work, raising young children, the list goes on. And it's helpful to be aware of those seasons and to be open to God's leading. So asking Father, what season am I in at the moment, and what does that mean for me? How should I respond to that. It seems to me as well that churches also go through seasons, sometimes chosen, sometimes brought about by God. So just to give a couple of examples, I think as a church we had a forced season of rest during the first COVID lockdown. And then last summer at 4 o'clock, we had another imposed season of rest and asking God where he was leading us. And rest often goes with pruning. So going back to John 15, you'll know that Jesus talks about abiding. He also talks about pruning. Just listen to these words from the book that this talk of the semicircle comes from, Building a Discipling Culture. He's talking about the image of the vine. He says, let's take a closer look at the first century process of growing grapes. At that time, a vine would be cultivated, planted, and left to grow for 3 years before being allowed to bear fruit. Every time it tried to bring forth a bunch of grapes, it would be cut back. After the third year, the grapes would be allowed to grow on their own. By then, the branches were strong enough to support the weight of the grapes without breaking. After the harvest, the branches were pruned back for a time of nourishment and rest before the fruit-growing season began again. So in other words, a vine needs to be pruned back in order to prepare it for future growth. And it can be the same for a church. It can have, it needs to have periods where it rests and periods where pruning takes place in order for growth to happen in future. So let's just think on our own for a moment about this question. What season am I in personally? And what might that mean for me? What season am I in personally? And what that mean for me? Do jot it down and have a think about it for a moment. And then the final question, which I think maybe we can talk about. Were you going to have a discussion time after, Rachel, or should we talk about this? So the final question is, what season might we be in as a church? And what might that mean for us? So just write that down. What season might we be in as a church? What might that mean for us? In a moment, we'll chat. We can chat about that around tables for a few minutes. But as I said earlier, these are important things. These are potentially life-changing things. And it's also an area where we most need to understand ourselves. So let me encourage us to keep thinking about these things in the days ahead, keep talking about them, and to keep asking God to show us ourselves. And with that in mind, let's look up Psalm 139, which I read from at the start. It's on page 628. And verse 23 and 24, starting right at the bottom of page 628. Why don't we pray this together as we close? So, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. So let's just take a few minutes round tables, talking about the question, what season are we in as a church? What might that mean for us? And if you think God gives you any remarkable insights, then please do share them with me or Rachel at the end. Thank you.